Back in 2014, Governor Andrew M. Cuomo promised that all New York kids would have access to free, high-quality preschool. 7 years later, there are still hundreds of public school districts that don't offer part-time or full-time pre-kindergarten classes. But that number of districts is poised to shrink as a result of new funding in the recently adopted state budget. To understand the expansion of pre-K classes in New York and why it matters, we spoke Friday afternoon to Dia Bryant, the interim executive director of the advocacy group Education Trust New York. So why are we even talking about pre-K and its role in the education of children? While I have no kids, I thought education really doesn't even start until you drop them off for that first day of kindergarten.
I mean, Dave, we actually believe that early childhood education actually starts at birth, and that there is this birth to five continuum. And why that time period in children's lives is so important is because it is the most sort of ideal or fertile time for children's brains to begin to develop. They pick up things quickly. They impress very easily. And it's really one of the most heightened times for learning for small children.
So is there a big difference between full day and part-time pre-kindergarten classes? Because we see already right now in New York, there is a big discrepancy between the districts that are providing those types of services.
I mean, yeah, there's lots of difference, right? And so one is, I mean, we can take the parent perspective, which is really if I work all day for a working parent who, let's say they, you know, have the privilege of working from 9 to 5, that full day matters because it's very hard at 11 a.m. to go and pick your child up and get them home and have someone to watch them while you continue work for the rest of the day. That full day really affords parents to be fully engaged in the workforce or fully engaged in post-secondary opportunities in a way that sort of the half day or partial days do not. I think also it's beneficial for the child for both their socialization and their learning, and sort of how I named that brain development is so critical in those first years. We really want to make sure that we're taking advantage of all the time possible. And so that full day really affords kids the best opportunity and their families.
How accessible are pre-K programs right now in New York?
I mean, right now, you know, most districts do not actually have available pre-K. And, you know, sort of with the new enacted budget, we are really looking forward to opening up full pre-K for lots and lots of districts. I think it's about 210 districts that will now have full day pre-K. And that is so meaningful for not only the child's development, you know, sort of primarily, but also for families and to really get students of color and our students from low-income backgrounds, our multilingual learners, engaged in the educational process early so that their trajectory to and through school has built-in advantages.
Do you have any sense of where this expansion is going to be?
There are many districts who never had this who will now have it available. I mean, Onondaga County is a great one to think about. You think about the impact of this on both urban and rural areas and what it can mean for families. In every district, you know, we're now just thinking about, like, are they actually prepared to launch? But definitely the availability is a critical and important thing. I will say it is also a first step in a series of supports that we need for children this age.
Has the state made a commitment to make additional investments in pre-K to get that number of programs to all public school districts?
I mean, we haven't heard just yet. I think the enacted budget hits about 210 districts, and most of it is actually being covered with the new resources from the American Rescue Plan Act. And so I think many folks across the state sort of have more questions about sustainability, like how do we continue to have these types of programs sort of once this type of resource fund runs out. I think there are also questions about just modalities and making sure that the full day pre-K meets the needs of all families and families that are traditionally and historically left out. I think about the parent who has to be at work at 8 o'clock, you know, a 9 o'clock start doesn't work for them. So what types of extended day opportunities will there be, both on the front of the school day and the end? Thinking about the way in which we have experienced the pandemic and its impact on the workforce, you know, we know that many women were pushed out of the workforce as they had to sort of make decisions about their own careers and their children's childcare. And so this will fill that gap, but we have to think about what that looks like over, you know, once this set of resources has been exhausted.
Yeah, you mentioned that this is being funded with American Rescue Plan money, and that's really just one-time money. And looking at some of the press releases surrounding this, I see this was a $105 million investment just to reach 210 districts statewide. Does that mean, moving forward, the state is going to have to pony up the $105 million to keep these programs running? Or is this money mostly going towards upfront costs and there's, you know, a lower price tag involved with keeping these programs running in the future?
I mean, I think you're asking a question that we sort of all have. The state is going to take care of a specific number of slots for full day pre-K for each district. And so want to be clear that, like, that does not mean that it will be pre-K for all. There will not likely be enough slots for everyone. And so I think that those are some of the questions that we're all still, you know, waiting for more details on. And, you know, again, this is a fantastic first step. This will make a difference in so many parents' lives and so many families' lives. And I think we're just waiting to see what's next, how this evolves, and some of the details of how this will sort of pan out over the next few years.
Do you have a sense of whether pre-K programs around the state take, you know, a full day program on Long Island and a full day program in the North Country, are they substantially equivalent, or is there a lot of wiggle room between what one program might consist of and what another program might consist of? Is there any sort of state regulations that say, you know, you
not
have to hit...
yet? And so, yeah, so we're, I mean, I think that's a part of the conversation is what data will we have from these sort of pre-Ks in terms of, you know, students being identified for special needs at such an early age. That's a question that I think will be on the table. Students who experience discipline in these early ages, particularly when we start thinking about our very young Black boys who disproportionately experience suspensions in the early grades. So there will be a lot of questions, and I think that's a part of the suite of questions and things we'll have to think about over the next couple of years. And data transparency, to your point, is one of them.
So we've been focusing on pre-K, but like you said at the top, you know, you view learning as you know, an experience almost from birth. And so pivoting even further back, what else should we be focusing on as part of this, you know, birth to pre-K period of the lives of New Yorkers?
Yeah, I mean, there's a few very critical things that I think we've learned during the pandemic. And one of those, I think, for parents with children of all ages, and particularly young children, is the role of childcare in our society in general. And so when we look at sort of the impact of the pandemic, it disproportionate impact on low-income families from low-income backgrounds and our students of color, immigrant families, you know, we really have some thinking to do about sort of what does early childhood education look like from birth to five. And it really is a continuum. Pre-K happens at age four, but there are so many other critical brain development moments for children from birth to five that we really need to begin thinking about.
Well, we've been speaking with Dia Bryant. She is the interim executive director of the advocacy group Education Trust New York. Dia, thank you so much for making the time.
Of course, Dave.
Support for the Capitol Press Room is provided by Destiny USA. Shopping, dining, and entertainment all in one location. For more information, go to www.destinyusa.com.